Blog Talk Radio.
Team Lion Show is on and popping tonight. Oh, yes, it's finally here, what you all have been waiting for, the host of Black Man Thinking. We're talking about a great talk show host, a great conservative, a great man of God. He's right here. Finally, we have Stanley Levy. You don't want to miss this. So come on along with me because Like It or Not with Michael Lane is right here. And it starts right now.
Like it or not. Like it or not. Michael Lane. Like it or not. You're in tune too. Like it or not. Like it or not.
Welcome to my world, everyone. This is Like It or Not with Michael Lane, and Michael Lane is who I be. Before we get started, I have to send a very special prayer love shout to the Liberty Chick. The Liberty Chick is a well-known, as you all may know, radio personality on FTR Radio, and she has suffered a stroke, and she recently received surgery to relieve the swelling in her brain. But I am glad to announce that she is showing signs of improvement. So I want the prayers out there to continue. We love you, and we're praying for a speedy and quick recovery. And we're just going to just let go and let God, okay? So much love to Liberty Chick. Much love to each and every one of you all out there from all around the world. Thank you all for joining me for yet another edition of the Team Lion Show, a.k.a. Like It or Not with Michael Lane, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Before we get our special guest on, we want you all to know, if you want to talk to this brother and you have any questions or comments, you please give us a call at area code 347-826-9357. Once again, area code 347-826-9357. And now it is with a great pleasure of mine. This is a great pleasure. Believe me, I had the pleasure and I had the honor of being on this man's show. Told everybody about it. I was very excited. And it was such a wonderful time we had, and the knowledge that was being dropped, it really took me to another level in how I even host my own show. Yes, it was that powerful. It's a powerful episode. I've been listening to him for quite some time, especially last week with Brenda Leonard. Every week you better expect something great out of this man. He is a great conservative brother. He is a wonderful family man. He is a great talk show host of the show Black Man Thinking. But I think he'll agree with me when I say that most of all, his greatest accomplishments is being a man of God. I bring to you the host, the one and only Stanley Levy. Thank you, brother, for joining me. It's such an honor to have you here on Like It or Not with Michael Lane.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that very kind introduction. I really appreciate it. And, it was really a blast having you come on the show with me a few weeks back. And, yep, it was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to this time, and I definitely would love to talk to anybody. I mean, I like talking to people anyway, so I love to talk to anybody who takes it upon themselves to call in. There are just so many things going on that are basically, I would say, if you want to put it down to one theme, how much distraction can I get from the cause of liberty? How many things can I put in your way that you think upon them and think about them in a way that deprives somebody else of the right to live their lives as they see fit?
Yes, absolutely. I want you to kind of bless us with the knowledge that you had on what is going on with the NFL, how the NFL is being attacked, and how I feel that people are kind of really sticking their nose into businesses that it won't affect us. It's a private matter. How is that? I mean, why is this going on, and how does that pertain in Scripture?
Well, let me get to that, but you got to get to the tail end. But a lot of this comes back to people really not understanding what football is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until 1920, there was no NFL. And until the 1960s, it wasn't really that popular. The NFL did not take over. Baseball was still a more popular sport in the United States until the 1960s. That's when the NFL took over. That's when you had all the things going on with the AFL. You had the bidding wars. Money actually started getting into the NFL. The problem for me when I look at this is people have forgotten what football is for. Football is not to generate income. Football was created primarily in the early earlier days, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, and on. This was a way to give young men an opportunity to build character, to build leadership skills, to overcome tough circumstances. This is what the game was about. So it was a very physical game. Because, well, you know, now there's a lot of passing. There's a lot of things. Before, you weren't worried about that because this was very much man on man. How do I defeat what's in front of me? And it was very much a matter of, basically individual soul searching. You could not play the game of football well and hold on to a bunch of internal issues. You had to get rid of those mm-hmm. in order to be part of the team. We got away from that now. It's not about the team anymore. It's about the money that the league generates. And building young men has gone out the window. Bottom line, I'll say it this way, I saw a story where a high school coach basically suspended his whole team, sat the whole team down because of the character issue. They were cyberbullying. They were doing some other things.
Mm-hmm.
But now we've gone to the point, what we used to do was say, you need to basically display the character that goes along with your talent to earn your way on the football field.
Yeah.
It was a privilege. We have turned that into basically the game needs you if you're talented, and so we don't care about your character. We're not basically building young men up with football. We're basically wearing them out with football. And, I mean, you think about it. I mean, you go back and you start looking at I don't know if any – you know, everybody remembers, Earl Campbell from, you know, the 80s. The big bruising back. Everybody loved Earl. Go look at Earl today. Earl can barely walk.
Yes.
You go see so many. Did they make decent money? They made reasonable money. But the game of football was never designed to be anyone's career. It was designed to, as they said in the movie Cool Hand Luke, man, we got to get your head right.
Yeah.
Because you got to do something else. The game of football was not designed to be played for 10, 15, and 20 years. That's not what it was designed for. It was designed to get people to the point where they learned how to use their bodies, their minds, to control their testosterone levels, to get control of themselves so they could actually make a contribution to society. And now what we have, football's not doing that anymore.
Yes.
Football is simply not doing that. I mean, we're looking at Ray Rice, the Ray Rice situation. But the thing is, when you have an organization that supposedly represents football and has taken the game in a direction it was never designed to be or never intended to be for the benefit of young men, now you've opened it up to all these other influences. And what happens is the fact that it makes so much money makes the NFL extremely popular, extremely powerful. And not powerful just in the sports sense. Now you have something that can actually work to shape people's opinions. Well, how do they do it in the NFL? What's my favorite guy doing? How are they going to allow this, that, and the other? And then it is, for me, the worst thing is we have given in to the idea of this, I just call it overly feminized thinking, in one of the most, quote-unquote, masculine sports that was left. And it wasn't masculine for the standpoint of beating one's chest and saying, I am man, and I'm roaring. Like, it's not about that. I'm trying to teach young men how to be men in a world that does not care about their feelings but does care about their accomplishments. That's gone. That's gone. If you go back through the years with football, you've always had problem children playing football. That's one of the reasons you had football. How am I going to deal with some of these problem children? I can't reach them another way. I can't get them to focus another way. But if they can start to play this game, they can start to get rid of some of their social issues, some of the misplaced anger. They can get it out on the field. They can recognize that they can actually have friends, as opposed to simply people with whom they must compete, that they must beat down. Where is that?
Right.
It's gone with the money.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And with all this domestic violence.
Stanley Levy, the one and only, the Stanley Levy, Black Man Thinking, right here on Team Lion, Like It or Not with Michael Lane, on Blog Talk Radio. Can you please tell us one quick question before we move on? Do you think now that the NFL will ever be the same now, since it seems like so many, especially from the left, are trying to bring it to a certain level and attack it? And will you think the NFL will now be the same because you know you have other people with certain agendas?
Well, it's difficult. And it depends on what you mean by the same. Is this going to be the same NFL that, used to be the stuff of the old NFL films, TV show, where you had the music and all that other good stuff? That's going to be hard because you had genuine characters back then. You had, when I say genuine characters, I mean, these were real people. I mean, Dick Butkus was a real person. You know, O.J. Simpson, before he got himself sideways, was a real person. These were real men, Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, Jim Brown.
Yes.
All these were real men. They were not prepackaged. They were not told to toe a particular line. They were their own men, and they happened to play football.
Yes.
What we have now is, we're going to let you in the league, but you cannot disrupt the money flow. You cannot say anything against homosexuality, or you're going to get fined, or we're going to find some way to make you be quiet. And you're going to apologize, by the way. You can't basically be anything that you should not be, which I find fascinating. Because the way people talk about the NFL now, you would think that the NFL was – you know, the worst thing to ever happen to civilization. When I was just looking at something online and showing the arrest rates for the NFL, and the NFL arrest rates for literally every major crime that it recorded was less than the general population.
Wow.
The arrest per 100,000, less than the general population for all these things. But this comes back to what you're talking about. There is an agenda. And once football left its purpose, which was the building up of young men so that they could contribute to society, let me say this. I got to say this because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You used to use football to take people who were not necessarily reaching their potential, or in some cases not being able to contribute to society, and you were giving them a platform and a role in which they could actually inject themselves forcefully and positively as leaders in communities. That's what football used to do, even the NFL of the 1950s and 60s, when people weren't making that much money. They had to get jobs in the off season.
Yeah.
They were businessmen in the off season. They committed. They got huge cheers at home during the season because this was my insurance guy. This was my grocery guy. This was my car salesman. This guy was invested in the community. Now you have people that are as far from the community as you can be because they don't need the community to get paid.
Wow.
Once you understand that, you went from building young men to the benefit of society to isolating young men from the responsibilities of society.
Yes.
This is where the problem comes in. This is how you take 22-year-old men who supposedly went to college and then 6 years after they leave college, after having received contracts worth seven and eight figures to the left side of the decimal point, they're declaring bankruptcy.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. And if that's what football is about, and the average football career is still, what, 4 or 5 years, if I remember correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So despite what people want to see, they'll look at one player or another, you know, Peyton Manning's been around forever. They'll look at somebody else and say, the average football player is gone in 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or less. And if he did not get anything to help him deal with his issues, and everybody's got issues, then you're going to turn this clown loose in society. And what the heck are you going to get out of that?
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. And then we're sitting up here and wondering, you have isolated these people from their society. You've isolated them from their communities. You've isolated them from the realities of life because now they get paid seven, eight figures on the left side of the decimal point to play a game. They contribute nothing to society when they play. Football was designed to prepare them to contribute to society once their playing days were over, and that was supposed to happen in their late 20s or 30s. They were supposed to be done and off doing something else.
Right.
Now, a great example of that.
We're talking to Stanley Levy, talk show host, man of God, man of knowledge, giving it to us straight right here on Blog Talk Radio, Like It or Not with Michael Lane. Let me give you the numbers one more time. And you can also email me as well, okay, from all around the world. No limit, okay? It's area code 347-826-9357. Or email me, Like It or Not with Michael, @gmail.com. Before we talk to this this man who I am so honored to have on our program, before we talk to him about his show, I want to talk to you about what's going on with ISIS and how you have this amazing confusion with the president first saying that there's no strategy. Then he's saying that we have a strategy. Then they said that there's not a war against ISIS. Then others from the Pentagon are saying, wait a minute, there is a war against. What is going on with this administration?
Basically what they told you they were going to do in 2008. They told you they were going to fundamentally transform the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, the thing that's interesting to me, because I here is the big problem for me, and I'm not saying this as a fact, I'm saying this as an observation and an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Until you understand that Barack Hussein Obama is pro-Islamic, nothing he does makes sense. When I say not pro-Islamic, I'm not saying, that's not fair. Pro-Islamist is what I meant.
Yeah.
Until you understand that he is pro-Islamist, nothing he does will make sense to you. Because if you think, if you honestly believe that he is not Islamist, then he does look like a bumbling idiot, not able to find his behind with both hands on the issue of ISIS. But if you look at the history of his administration throughout North Africa and the Persian Gulf, you cannot find one action that he has taken since 2009 that has ever worked against the interests of Islamists. Think about Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamist organization. Everybody knew that. Everybody knows what their charter says, that Israel must go away. And you overthrew he was a dictator, but he was a democratic dictator, whatever that is, in Mubarak. You throw him aside and put your support behind the Muslim Brotherhood, and then when the people reject them, you give them much more support in trying to keep them in power than you gave to the guy who had been our ally for 3 decades. What, huh?
Yeah. Right.
You go to Syria, and you're like, wait a minute. For 2.5 years, you couldn't say anything about Syria, but for 2.5 years, the only people fighting President Assad were actually the Syrian Free Army, and they were not Islamists. But as the conflict went on between trying to fight the army and trying to fight the increase in radicals, the Syrian Free Army is not what it was, and whoever takes over Syria now that is not Assad is going to be your flavor of the month Islamist. Now and only now is Barack Obama talking about doing anything with Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Now.
In Iran, they were in the streets after the 2009 election chanting his name, Obama, are you with them or are you with us, when the election was stolen from the people. And the president would not even acknowledge what had happened. There is nothing about this man that is anti-Islamist.
Mm-hmm.
That is where his sympathies lie. Once you understand that, there was not a lack of strategy with regard to IS. And notice he always calls them ISIL. And there's a different there's a difference in meaning there that's significant. But his lack of strategy, his supposed lack of strategy to defeat them, that's not a lack of strategy. He never had any intention of defeating them. That's not why he's there.
Uh-huh.
His strategy is to buy them enough time to become strong enough that they cannot be easily contained. That's what he does. He buys them time. He may be frustrated in his efforts to do that now, but let's be honest. When you call the governments of the world together in a conference, we already know what that means. Okay, we're going to waste a few months trying to figure out, because you can't get 30 people who ain't about nothing to agree on anything. I can't get 30 world leaders to agree on where they're going to sit down at a table. Nothing is going to happen for quite a while, which means ISIS, or as he calls them, ISIL, buys time. And I want to just very briefly talk about the difference. ISIS is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Okay. But ISIL is the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. The Levant includes a much larger area than Iraq and Syria. We're talking about parts of Turkey. We're talking about, well, let's be honest, it's also talking about the State of Israel. Once you understand that there's something different in the name, he's declaring that IS is in control, or it wants to control all these areas, which is true. But the relative ignorance of most people in America, they don't understand that there's a difference between ISIS and ISIL. There's a difference between IS and IL. They need to understand what the Levant means. And if you're trying to defeat these people, why would you grant them, just by reason of how you refer to them, more territory than they already currently inhabit?
That is
I hope you all are listening to this and learning, absolutely eye-opening, the difference between ISIS and ISIL. That is amazing. I wish, now, you know, I had to talk to your brother Patriot. I have to tell you that we're going to, hopefully I can have you on my other network, Smack Tongue Radio, and we can have a longer interview.
Okay.
Because 30 minutes is not, it's just not enough.
Well, that's not a problem. I would be happy to do that. Just let me know, and you know, we'll definitely coordinate that and make it happen. And I do plan to get you back on Black Man Thinking. I do have I'm actually scheduled to talk today. We're going to talk a little bit about school choice and Ms. Benita Dodd, who is the vice president of the Georgia Public Policy Foundation, is going to join me for that discussion, and she's going to have the pro side. I'm going to get to play devil's advocate, for lack of a better term, because I have some real questions about what America has allowed to happen to its education system, and until they actually recognize it for what it is, I don't know that they can get it back. And right now, we're already, as John Drummond said about Carl Lewis about 15 years ago, what was it? You know, we're, you know, he said we're butt naked last. He said that about Carl Lewis. You know, he came in butt naked last at the trials. Well, we're butt naked last among industrialized nations with respect to education results for children. That's for the United States. I mean, Vietnam gets higher scores in math than the United States. We were bombing Vietnam into the Stone Age not 40 years ago. We were bombing them into oblivion, and now their children outperform ours on in math.
Unbelievable.
So Ms. Dodd has some ideas that I know she's very sincere, and she's looked them up. But I have, my question goes very fundamental. What makes you think that the people who have any, that the people who are invested in this system at all really give a rat's behind about children?
Mm-hmm.
If they did, how do you go from first to last in less than 50 years?
Oof.
And you spend more money than anybody else on the planet. You pay teachers more than anyone else on the planet. And you started with the lead. And now you're behind every industrialized nation on the globe. How does that happen if you care about children?
That's right. That's right.
So,
and where can the listeners, for those of you out there who don't know, where can they catch you?
Well, we're going to be in our normal spot, WDFP.us. Yeah, WDFP.us. We'll make sure it's not .com. It's .us. And from there, you're just going to go and take a look at. You're going to get a /there, and then go to blackmanthinking.html. But that is, you know, that's where we're going to be this evening. We got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about. I'm just going to talk about education with Benita. If she wants to hang around, she can hang around for the rant that comes after that, which is on a totally different topic, and it's actually dealing with what we just talked about before, which is this whole thing. You understanding, you know, this is not about the, you know, this whole thing with the NFL. This is not about domestic violence. I think you touched on it. This is about a political agenda that is being pushed upon people through the popularity of a sport. They are trying to basically take that and make something that is harmful, and in some cases, downright an opposition to God, and try to make that acceptable and make that the way society runs. There is an objective. There is an agenda. And most people are too busy being emotional about this. Well, no man should hit a woman. No, you know, no, you can't hit a child. Like I said, wait a minute. Or you can't say racist things. Huh? Okay. Even if the conversation is private, even if you have no business knowing about it, if they say it and you find out about it now, they should be a private conversation or a private action is now subject to not law enforcement or judicial review, but public opinion review, to the point where you must suffer because the public doesn't like what happened. Something's wrong. Something's wrong.
Yes. Oh, yes. One last question for you, brother. How can we get God back in America? How can we put God? Because if we do have an administration, seemingly, and a political party that is on a mission to kick God out of this country, make God mentioned less and less and less, how can we get our Savior and our Creator back in America?
Well, that's difficult. And I say it's difficult because, one, this has been a Judeo-Christian, a nation with a Judeo-Christian ethic, but it's not really a Christian nation. It is founded on the principles that support the Judeo-Christian ethic, but it's not really a Christian nation. Trying to get God back is a little bit problematic in that regard, but what I would tell people is this. If you want to basically restore America to the Judeo-Christian roots, there's two things that you need to do. You need to basically go to black heterosexual males and tell people in the black community, y'all need to get married. Y'all need to get married. You need to stay married. And the reason I say that, there has not, in my understanding of American history, been one successful moral movement that was not focused on the black heterosexual male.
Yes.
Slavery was about helping out the black heterosexual male, getting rid of Jim Crow, black heterosexual male. It has been the destruction, primarily in the last 50 years, of the position of the black heterosexual male as a moral person, as a family person, as a hardworking person. That image has been under relentless assault. Until that stops, America has no chance. You're going to have to basically get to black men, and of course black women as well, although it really doesn't matter who they married. What matters is that they get married and they stay married. Get married. Stay married. Commit yourself to hard work. What built America was marriage and work. If you want to save the country or at least restore it to what it was, the way you got there is the way you get back. You get married and you work hard. We have gotten into a society that thinks marriage is, if you like it, it's not essential. And since we got to the point where, we don't have people actually paying into the system. We have more people, in some cases, we have more people taking from the system than pay into it. Hard work has become a sucker's bet. If you want to get the country, back to a place where it's more like what you recognize it to be, you need to go to black people and say, what is it going to take for you guys to get married again? What is it going to take for you to start building families instead of sprinkling babies all over the place? What is it going to take for you to see how much you matter to the moral well-being of this country? That's pretty much all I got on that one.
I tell you, that is a definite question for everyone to ask themselves. And what a great, I'm so grateful and blessed and honored to have this show blessed with your knowledge, with your words and your movement. And I know I will be on your show again very soon. And I definitely would love for you to be on my longer edition of the show in the near future.
Well, just let me know. I definitely welcome the opportunity to speak with you again. You've been very kind to me. I appreciate that. Anytime, just let me know, and we'll definitely work something out.
All right. Thank you. And keep me in your prayers, and I will keep you in your prayers. I love you, brother.
Thank you, and I appreciate it very much. I will talk with you soon. You guys take care.
All right. The wonderful Stanley Levy, ladies and gentlemen from all around the world. I am so sorry there was a couple of calls, but you all called in a little bit late. I am so I am so sorry. We're just running out of time. And, you know, man, once you get that knowledge, and I know you all, well, some of you all called to listen in as well, so I understand that. And the emails, I will read the emails or the compliments later on Wednesday's show. So we thank you. Don't forget, tune in tonight. Tune in tonight as Stanley Levy will drop. I will have the link on my my show's page as well as my personal page on Facebook as well as also on my Twitter pages as well. So you do not want to miss tonight's show. It's going to be absolutely off the chain. It's going to be wonderful. You have to tune in, learn, wonder why things are changing. It was just amazing how you talked about education. You're gonna tune in tonight. He's gonna have a great guest, great talk, and I'm just honored to have this brother bless this show. And you all can always you can download actually this episode as well. Join me on tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. That's on smacktongue.com. We will have the one and only TJ. TJ will bless this show. And she will be on there and on SmackTongue Radio. Hopefully we will have Stanley Levy bless the SmackTongue version as well. But with my TJ on tomorrow night, we're going to talk about what he talked about, which was the NFL, as well as other stuff, entertainment-wise. So we're going to talk about that as well. On Wednesday, I will stress or I will talk more about Stanley Levy and the email that I got, a couple of emails that I got regarding this great man of God, and they really enjoyed the program from the email. And I hope you all tune in on his show tonight. So, hey, man, it's going down. I love it. Coming soon. Don't forget, we're going to have great, great artists coming soon, great people coming soon. Hopefully I'm going to have the host of Liberty Drive. Hopefully I can have Brian, the host Brian, on this show very soon. I'm going to have everything lined up, including Babette Holder. I'm looking for you now. All right. Until next time, tomorrow, man, join me. We're going to have TJ. It's going all the way down. I love each and every one of you all around the world. Thank you all for your support and your love. God bless you. Keep it safe. Put the guns down. Let's have fun now. Until next time, it's your boy Michael Lane screaming peace, love, and keep doing. But that was my old one. That's my old slogan. Let's get to the new one. Can we get to the new one? Yeah, let's do it. No matter how I bring it, it's going to be real. Because it's all me, like it or not. Ow.
Like it or not. Like it or not. Like it.